When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello, folks, and welcome to our podcast. In this episode, we present part one of an interview with Pastor Jim Warner from Agape Church in Mesa, Arizona. We hope you will enjoy this pastor's insights, and thank you so much for listening. God bless you.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you.
And now for part one of our interview with Pastor Jim Warner.
Hello, everybody. It's great to have you back. And we're honored to have both my friend and my pastor on, who is going to give us some insight. And Jim, could you say a few words before we start?
Well, Tim, it's a pleasure to be with you and Stephanie, and thank you for the opportunity. It's always good to meet folks via networking and opportunities like this, and just to share what the Lord's doing in our lives, and to hear from other people as well what the Lord's doing in their lives. So this is an awesome opportunity, and I thank you for asking.
Sure. Well, the first question that I had, what are some of the essentials you see that we as Christians often overlook or neglect?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that shows up a lot in the church and church life. I've been a pastor for a number of years, both assistant pastor as well as senior, and I can tell you that it's difficult to look at people come in the door and they think they've got it all together, and maybe they don't, and they're telling themselves a non-truth. One of the things that shows up first in their own walk in life is their personal habits. And by that I mean prayer, spending time in the Word, fellowship. Those are the top three. And if those things don't happen in a person's life and they neglect those things, to use that word, then quite often the individual starts, you can just see it in their eyes. They're not there. And they're walking as they should. And one of the first, in fact, the very first sermon I ever preached happened to be from Acts 2:42. That calls the church to pray, as well as take care of each other and take care of the needs of each other and so forth. And that's just a solid piece of reminder for us as a church body, as the believers, is to encourage each other in that way. So I think when it's all said and done, it's the simple things that mean a lot. I heard a pastor one time say, who'd been a pastor for like 50 years, someone asked him a similar question. His response was, you know, if I could go back and do it all over again, I would spend more time reading the Bible, and I'd spend more time praying. We get busy doing so many other things and trying to take care of so many things. One of the other pieces to this answer is, the name of our church is Agape Church, the love of God. And that's one thing that comes to mind with that statement, Agape, is that an old song I used to sing when I was a kid, "They will know we are Christians by our love."
Yes, I did too.
Yeah, so those are key components. But unless we've got the love of God in us and being light in that way, people are not going to see any difference. It's the simple things that mean a lot.
The next question that I think about One term you don't hear much anymore is body ministry. Could you expound on that, or on the role of people in the body?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is immediately where my brain goes for that. We've all got various gifts, talents, and abilities that the Lord has given, and that's powerful stuff there. And that everybody has a part. Everybody's got a role. And so when it comes to body ministry, that means taking seriously our role. You know, what is it that the Lord's given to you? And not just wait for the pastor to do it or wait for the pastor to ask you, but what is it the Lord's given to you to do and to carry forth in your own walk in life?
I was just going to say, I should really say that we appreciate what you do, because a lot of churches I've been in, I just call it spectator Christianity.
Yeah, that's right. It shows up, doesn't it? And I've been to those churches, and you walk in, you walk out, you talk to zero people.
Right.
One of the things at our church that we know, and you do this very well, is participate with small groups. Small groups is a big deal because it's a model of the early church. And people can spend time together and encourage each other. So that also doesn't fall through the cracks. And now we've got the body who's truly ministering one to another in that way. So I think everybody's got a role, and we should be taking that consideration seriously.
Well, you mentioned prayer as one of the key things that you look for as far as a person, you know, not neglecting anything. It's that Samuel said it was a sin if he didn't pray for the people. How do you think we as Christians have let the world shape our view on prayer? Or do you?
Yeah, I do. Quite often, people do the, now he lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, you know, that prayer that they learned when they were sick. And they do it not when they're six, but when they're 60. And they just keep going, and they don't really take prayer seriously. I think that the world has shaped our prayer life just to say, let's just say something, get it done. Let's do this while we're at the restaurant so everybody can see that we're Christians, and then go ahead with life. But it's not a last resort, and it's not something that should be reduced just to simple positive thinking here. Prayer is truly what it is, it's called in Scripture, is our communication with an almighty Heavenly Father who knows you and loves you, and he wants to hear what's on your heart. You know, one thing about being a pastor is that I have to be very careful with my conversations. I can't just tell everybody really what's going on in the depths of my gut, because it might blow somebody away, and it might say, well, gee, I don't want to be a Christian. That's the case. And yet, I'm just like anybody else, and I've got my own challenges. And so my prayer life becomes more and more vital when I can say, oh, God, I really need clarification on this. Oh, Lord, I need you to speak to my heart about this or that or the, or God, forgive me for this or that or the other. So we need to take prayer so seriously that we can say, God, you're there, and you're hearing me. And I want to tell you what's going on in the depths of my heart. And then just tell him. And then allow him to speak back to us and speak to the depths of our heart.
I had Daniel prayed when he knew it was time for the children of Israel to be released from Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
How should we, as Christians, parallel our lives when we think of Christ coming back?
Yeah, I think, in fact, just this past week, I was teaching in 2 Peter chapter 3, and there's a lot there regarding the second coming and the Lord's return and having a sense of urgency, anticipation, that type of thing. I think when it's done, when it's all done, especially with Daniel's experience there, we're to say, you know what, Lord, we really are looking forward to your coming back. And having such anticipation that it's real. It's the real deal, and I'm not messing around. So prophecy, that produces really, for me, a sense of urgency. It's not apathy, but it's urgency. And in that same way, I'm going to just be seeking the Lord to know exactly what his will is for today, because I might not have tomorrow. I got today. Sure. I got right this very moment. But we might not be done with this phone call. we want to be sure that we've got the sense of urgency, looking forward and crying, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. So,
what are some of the other enemies of revival you see? We've talked about prayer and not being in the Word and so forth and so on, fellowship.
Yeah, you know, I think it starts with basic unbelief. I think that's where it goes.
Unbelief, you know, yeah.
Unbelief, they just don't believe, or they're scoffers, as we saw in 2 Peter 3. Mm-hmm. Scoffers who just say, you know, we've been waiting 2,000 years, where is he? So I think that's a big one. Pride is a big one, especially for men, I found, as well as not praying and not being humble. But, you know, 2 Chronicles, it reminds us, if my people were called by my name, humble themselves. That's where it begins.
Yeah.
Humbling ourselves, praying, seeking his face, turning from our own wicked ways, doing all those things. Then he says, then I will hear. Then I will hear.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start and end there with, I've got to walk in belief, not unbelief. I've got to walk in humility, not pride. I've got to walk in purity, not division or hidden sin or anything like that, and then follow after what he's got.
I guess this would just be kind of turning the corner a little bit and talking about, since we've talked about the church, how do we go ahead and live our lives in the world? And the question I had, are speaking the truth in love and judging one and the same?
That's a big one. Well, first of all, living in the world, not of it, I get this a lot because people will ask me, what do you do for a living? I used to be a business guy for years, but now I say I'm a pastor, and immediately they go, whoa, I got to watch my language or whatever. but when it's really done, I'm asking them simple questions, and I'm trying to put them at ease because I want to find out where they are. If they are feeling like I'm going to come after them and condemn them or judge them, if they think, oh, he's deciding if I'm going to heaven or not, that kind of stuff, that's not at all what I'm doing. I want to find out where they're coming from, and I do want to speak truth in love. But when it comes to judging or saying, separating myself from the world, like I'm holier than thou because I've got a pastor in front of my name, that's not going anywhere. It's not going to be helpful. Instead, I just want to show them, okay, here's who the Lord is, and this is what he's done, and I want to represent Jesus correctly. If I do that, there's going to be an interest there because they're going to say, hey, I want some of what you got, and that's the goal, in my view.
Right.
Not for me to turn somebody into a religious person, but I want them to see the love of God, and that for them to have hunger and thirst for that righteousness.
Right. And so, like, if somebody, say, was living in a lifestyle, say, that the Bible doesn't condone, you could speak the truth to them without, you know, without judging them. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits.
Absolutely.
I talk to different people all the time, and you know, they're afraid of being condemned or whatever, even though they've accepted Christ. In your view, are Christians too feeling-oriented?
Yeah. When I hear the word feeling, I immediately go back to when I was a kid. I made my decision for Christ when I was 11 years old, and I did that by reading the spiritual tract called The Four Spiritual Laws. And very back in that was a graphic. There was a train. It was the train engine was the word fact, the train car was the word faith, and the caboose at the back of the train was the word feeling. And the point being in that graphic, simple graphic, was that feelings are not necessary. They're nice. It's nice to have the caboose, but the caboose is not necessary to make the train go. What makes the train go is the fact that Jesus Christ died for my sin, that God
yes.
himself loves me, and I walk in that, and I do that by faith. But the feelings, it's great to have, but they're never going to be reliable. It's the word. Now, having said that, I can't be all word and no feeling at all if I'm going to walk with the Lord. I've got to be sensitive to spirit. And Galatians 5 says, walking in the spirit, really hearing his voice in that. I've got to be listening to that still small voice and not just think that I'm going to do everything just by black and white or red and white, as it's in the Bible. But,
okay.
But to truly have a sense of walking by the fact God is and what he's done in my life.
All about you. That concludes part one of this interview. We hope that you're enjoying it. And please stay tuned for part two of this interview in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.